saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Testudo Talk Podcast. It's been over a week since we recorded. Our last episode was at Basketball Media Day, Men's Basketball Media Day, but today we are back with another football preview episode. This week, Maryland is off of its bye, and the Terps are playing Northwestern on the road. And, you know, this is a game that Maryland looks at probably as a must win after two losses going into the bye. Certainly a good opponent to have a must win against. We'll get into the Wildcats in this episode. As always, I'm Emmett Siegel here with Andrew Chodas. Andrew, you're going to be our representative at Northwestern this weekend. How excited are you to get out there in Evanston and experience one of those famous 11 a.m. kickoffs?
I'm not excited about the 11 a.m. start. I think it's going to be a bit of an adjustment. But no, in all seriousness, as you mentioned, it's a huge spot for Maryland, right? It's a place where they need to bounce back in the worst way, coming off of two straight losses. You have an opponent. This is a game circled where you think it's going to be a win. It needs to be a win, a chance to gain bowl eligibility, but ultimately just to gain the momentum back after a rough couple of weeks, a few straight losses. Offensive coordinator Kevin Sumlin is not going to be with the team this week after his arrest, Mike Loxley said. So the Terps just need something positive, and hopefully for them, this Northwestern game can provide that.
Yeah, and Northwestern coming into the season, you know, we've recapped, everyone knows all the, you know, the turmoil that's gone on in that program with their interim coach and everything, you know, kind of setting expectations very low for them coming into the season. But they've been, we were talking before the podcast, I think that we both agreed that Northwestern hasn't been terrible, hasn't been awful, like maybe some people thought they were going to be, but they certainly haven't been good. They are 3-4. They have one Big Ten win, a little bit of a fluky win, like a huge fourth quarter comeback against Minnesota, but a win nonetheless. And, you know, it counts the same on the record. Last week they lost to Nebraska and kind of one of those classic low scoring, you know, defensive battles, lots of turnovers, not a lot of yards gained. But yeah, I mean, Northwestern isn't totally terrible. Northwestern at home has been a lot better than Northwestern on the road. So maybe going into the season, you would have thought that this is the kind of game that Maryland would walk in there and, you know, no matter what, come away with a win. But I think at this point in the season, you can probably say that Northwestern is going to put up at least a little bit more of a challenge than maybe we thought going into the year.
Yeah, and I think just going way back, I think when we first kind of forecasted the Big Ten schedule, I think you, Colin, and I kind of thought that Northwestern would maybe get two or three wins. You know, they're 3-4 in the season. They're playing hard. But I think the biggest thing is, you mentioned, you know, they're not the greatest team offensively. They're not the greatest team defensively, but they've done well limiting mistakes. They only have 6 turnovers on the season, which is a lot less than you would assume from a team that's going through a lot. They're not the most skilled, but that's what's been able to keep them in a lot of these games. You mentioned though, they only lost by 8th Nebraska. They scraped out a win against Minnesota. So they're competing, right? And I think any team that's able to compete in the Big Ten, no game's going to be easy. And I think Maryland has to know that when they head to Chicago.
Yeah, and I think the biggest question mark for Northwestern, we can jump right into previewing their team. Biggest question mark for them is the quarterback position, right? Ben Bryant transferred from Cincinnati a year or two ago. Their main starting quarterback has been out the last two games. So Brendan Sullivan has taken over the starting role. And he has been less than impressive, I think is a pretty fair way to put it. They beat Howard by, I think, 3 points, which is, I mean, Howard is should not be playing on the same field as a Big Ten team and staying competitive. So, you know, bullet dodged by Northwestern, but still a really unimpressive performance. And then, like we said, they were only able to score like 9 points against Nebraska. So Brendan Sullivan has really struggled. He's a little bit more mobile than Ben Bryant, but still, I mean, Northwestern is at the quarterback position. That's a huge question mark for them. Maryland's defensive front should have its way with a really weak offensive line that is not giving them that much protection. Let me read off some stats for you. Against Nebraska, Northwestern had 8 sacks allowed. That's the most any team at that school has allowed since 2000. They have allowed 30 sacks through their first seven games, and they're averaging more than four per game. They have two games with at least seven sacks allowed. To me, that sounds like the Washington Commanders, which I've been watching with, you know, it seems like Sam Howell's going down every play. But I mean, like, this Northwestern offensive front combined with the quarterback sets up a perfect scenario for Maryland's defense, which has been pretty solid, even in the games they lost, has been pretty solid. Sets up a really good scenario for Maryland's defense to really take advantage.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. It's just, and even you mentioned the offensive line, but it's just the offense as a whole has really, really struggled. They're dead last in rushing yards per game and under 100. They're just under 200 passing yards a game. That's second to last in the conference. And this is a Maryland team where, you know, they're coming off their bye week. They had a chance to rest. They're probably going to get a lot of important players back. Loxley mentioned Tuesday, like Tar Heap Steele should be back. Corey Dyches should be back.
Dante Bullard, Trader will also be back on the defensive end.
So I think this is it. The bye week, I wrote this over at testudotimes.com. I think it probably couldn't have come at a more perfect time for Maryland, right? There's a lot of negative things happen. It's a rest. It's a recharge. You're able to get healthy. You go against a team that, while they haven't, they've been able to compete, they don't have the most skill. There's a lot to exploit on the offensive line. I think Maryland, because we saw what happened against Northwestern, but Maryland should have it pretty easy in carving out big plays against the Wildcats, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. I think that, you know, Maryland's defense has been, when it's at its best, it's been very opportunistic, forcing turnovers, really stymieing those opponents. And we've seen what it can be at its best. Against Illinois, it was all right. But what we saw, you know, in that first half against Ohio State, we always talk about in a couple other games, and they were forcing a ton of turnovers. And, you know, after slow starts taking over the games, what Maryland's defense can do seems like a really good opportunity for that unit to step up. Like you said, though, Northwestern not very turnover prone, so maybe not relying on those big plays as much as just kind of grinding it out. Northwestern's run game is not very good either. I think it's towards the bottom of the Big Ten as well. So, Northwestern does not seem like the kind of team that you're expecting their avenue to win to be to outscore Maryland as much as maybe to kind of grind it out and, you know, force a very low scoring game, which is, you know, something that they might be able to do with their defense, which if we could segue into that maybe.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that, and it kind of, you mentioned how Northwestern doesn't make many mistakes, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about Maryland. It's, if Maryland doesn't make any big mistakes and kind of give Northwestern opportunities to come into the game, and Talia Tagovailoa, he's kind of done that in the past few games, right? With some turnovers, you know, that has allowed the opposition to gain momentum. And when you look at a Northwestern team that scored only a touchdown in the second half against Howard, just 9 points total against Nebraska. I think it's going to come down to a game where Maryland, if they can limit the mistakes, I'm not sure if Brennan Sullivan's offense can do enough to muster out a victory.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you know, an opportunity for Maryland to maybe, take advantage of the extra rest plus a weak opponent. It's kind of shaping up perfectly for them. Let's talk about Northwestern's defense, though, and then we can talk a little bit about Maryland's offense as well. So Northwestern's defense, like we've said, has been pretty solid overall. I mean, you know, not like world beaters, but you know, a pretty solid unit, kind of what you expect from Northwestern. I know they've, you know, undergone leadership changes and everything, but kind of what you expect, you know, a pretty stout team that's not really going to shoot itself in the foot. Their secondary is pretty good. It's allowing under 175 passing yards per game. Only 85 yards allowed through the air against Nebraska. Not necessarily a potent passing team, but a Big Ten opponent nonetheless. The biggest thing that I see, though, that Maryland can exploit is that this team cannot get stops on third and fourth downs. I mean, Maryland is one of the best teams in the conference at, you know, converting third and fourth downs, it seems like, and Northwestern is certainly towards the bottom of that on the defensive end. So if Maryland's going to win, it might not necessarily be able to beat Northwestern over the top, considering that secondary is pretty good, but it might be able to have some of those, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 play drives where they can kind of grind it out, use clock, and maybe, you know, beat Northwestern at its own game kind of.
Yeah, no, I think you kind of hit it on the head right there, right? It's the big playability where I think Maryland has a really big advantage. And I think it's just Maryland kind of has to remember the fact that it has to kind of play towards its strengths. When you go against a team like Northwestern, you know that they're capable of probably out-muscling them. And it's going to come down again. Who's going to make the least amount of mistakes? And that's what's hurt Maryland the past two games. And I think that's kind of where you kind of have this mental break during the bye week and you kind of come to understand that. And if Maryland is able to play a mistake-free brand of football and not play into Northwestern what they want them to do and kind of, you know, suffocate them, I think Maryland should have a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're both going to pick Maryland to win this game when we do at the end of the episode. Maryland is a 2-touchdown favorite, so the odds makers are certainly thinking that Maryland is going to come out on top pretty comfortably, but that's also what we said against Illinois. So, you know, we always have to check ourselves a little bit with that. The weather is going to be what it is. It's not going to be a huge factor like sometimes you see in Evanston. I remember last year when they played Ohio State, it was another one of those 11 a.m. local kicks and, you know, CJ Stroud and Marvin Harrison and that, you know, outstanding Ohio State team could only score like 14 points because they couldn't even throw a pass. It was so windy. I don't think the conditions are going to be quite that bad this game. So, you know, maybe they won't be great, but they won't certainly be as bad as that. But maybe a little bit less warm than we're getting here in the DMV, which is like unseasonably warm for this time of year. But yeah, I mean, it should be a game that Maryland, you would think, can exploit a lot of advantages. Like you said, the big play threats. I definitely want to see Maryland be able to break off a couple more explosive runs. We haven't seen a lot of those from them this year, something that, you know, you were thinking that could be a big strength of their offense. We haven't seen Roman Hemby really get going. We've seen Antoine Littleton, you know, doing his thing, but it hasn't necessarily been to that level. And Colby McDonald is, you know, getting snaps here and there. Ramon Brown, another guy that might be back this week, making his season debut, really making his Maryland debut. I mean, he's only gotten in like junk time last year. I definitely want to see some big plays from the Maryland run game. I think that getting that offensive line healthy, like you said, Corey Bullock also coming back. I think we might be underestimating, now that I'm reading out all the names, you know, how many people were injured for Maryland, but yeah, I think Maryland needs to win not only the turnover battle and not shoot itself in the foot, but also the explosive plays battle, which is something that Locksley has preached a lot this year.
Yeah, and again, like we said, Northwestern, it seems like they're a team where you might be able to exploit their lack of ability to contain, you know, big plays. They're second to last in the Big Ten in interceptions. They've pulled off just 5 on the season. Sacks, they're last. They only have 7 sacks through 7 games, so they don't make many big plays. Their defense hasn't been great. Their offense has been poor, but they've been able to compete. And a team that kind of stays in there can kind of give you some trouble. But like you said, it's been Maryland. They're good. They're going to need to execute on those big plays. And if they do, they should be able to pull out a pretty comfortable win to get off the schneid here.
Yeah, let's talk about some keys to the game. What Maryland needs to do to win. I'll start, and we've already talked about it a little bit, but Maryland needs to pressure the quarterback. Brennan Sullivan is super inexperienced. You know, Ben Bryant is, you know, experienced as they come. I believe he's like a fifth year player. And he started for multiple years. Brennan Sullivan, not quite. He hasn't looked very impressive in his 2 starts this year. So I think Maryland taking advantage of that Northwestern offensive line that has been incredibly leaky this year with the, you know, Maryland defensive front that has actually looked maybe better than we thought, or at least answered a lot of those questions with guys like Denell Brown has looked pretty good. Jayshon Barham still can't figure out why they don't line him up on the outside more, but every time they do, it seems like he gets to the quarterback. I would like to see Maryland pressure the quarterback. And, you know, I'm looking at reading those stats from earlier. I would say Maryland needs to register 5 plus sacks, I think would be a successful game for Maryland's defensive front to kind of set the tone and not let Brennan Sullivan get comfortable and get the edge, because he is a relatively mobile quarterback.
Yeah, I think my key to the game, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, it's going to come down to Maryland playing mistake-free football. That's, you know, time and time again over the past few seasons, and this kind of time of the year, this middle of the season, you kind of see Tua Tagovailoa, you know, kind of with a lot more mistakes. The team tends to look a bit more uncomfortable. So I think that they need to stay poised, and I think that they need to play their own game And if they're able to do that, they should be able to find success against a Northwestern team.
Before we get to score predictions, I have to ask you, because you are going to Evanston, what are you most looking forward to on your trip? Are you going to go into Chicago at all, or are you just staying in Evanston?
So my brother lives in Chicago, so okay. I'll be staying with him Friday and Saturday. I'll probably be meeting some friends who go Northwestern for dinner, and then I'll be back here Sunday night. But no, it should be a fun time, and maybe we'll see Maryland kind of shake off a few bad weeks and get back on track as well.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of a different experience than the horseshoe, but still fun nonetheless. Let's get to score predictions. Do you want to go first?
Sure. I don't think Northwestern's offense can do much. I think Northwestern's defense, I at home, they've played pretty well. Guy like Bryce Gallagher, he's a tackling machine back there for the Wildcats. I think Maryland struggles to get many points in the first half. I think they kind of pull away in the second half. I'm going to go same score as Michigan State, 31-9 Maryland.
31-9. That seems fair. I'm going to go with Maryland 24, Northwestern 7. So kind of like around that same thing. Like you said, I just don't see a scenario where Northwestern's able to score a lot of points on Maryland's defense. I think their offense has been really bad, like we've said about 100 times on this like 15-minute episode. And Maryland's offense, I think that bye week was really helpful. Get healthy, get an extra couple days to prep for Northwestern, you know, maybe shake off some of the rust from that Illinois game that, you know, went the way it did, and kind of get back in the win column. Certainly a really important game for Maryland. You know, they're 5-2, which is like a very good record. But when you look ahead and you see Penn State and Michigan, even with everything that's going on with Michigan, you know, you still see at least two more probable losses on that schedule. So this is certainly an important game. Random question, but like the Michigan scandal and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do we think that has, we're going weeks out ahead from now, right? And
yeah,
but we're striking while the iron's hot and talking about this. Do we think that affects Michigan's chances of beating Maryland? And maybe look at that game as a little bit closer now, even though Michigan's been playing like the best team in the country.
No,
I don't personally, but
no, that's some people have been saying that. Anyone who says that is out of their minds. No, Michigan is the right now. Michigan is the most dominant team in the country.
Yeah,
they score 50 points and they don't allow teams to score, which is usually a recipe for success. But hey, maybe Josh Gattis, he'll bring some of those.
He knows Michigan science.
Yeah, he'll have some of those Michigan science, and he'll be able to. Yeah, we should probably keep our mouth shut after that. But yeah, no, I don't think this scandal will have any effect on that game's result.
Yeah, well, funny story, and then we'll sign off on this preview episode. A couple days ago, we had the chance to talk to Talia Tungvailoa. He wasn't available at the press conference, but we were able to talk to him after practice, and only a couple people showed up. It was just me and two other students, and we asked him about the Michigan sign stealing thing, and he was like, "What happened with Michigan? Like, I don't know what happened with Michigan." And like, I didn't buy it, but he had a funny answer when we explained the whole thing about them, you know, recording the sidelines and stuff. And we're like, "Have you noticed anything against Michigan?" He's like, "Oh, well, you know, I hope that's why they beat us." And like, I didn't want to say it to him, but like, I'm not sure that's why they beat them. I think there might be some other factors at play. Maybe some optimistic thinking, but anyway, we'll keep this episode short so we don't ramble too much. Thank you all for listening. We will see you Saturday night, I guess, a noon Eastern kick from Evanston. Maryland is favored to get back in the win column, but I think this is how I signed off that Illinois preview episode as well. So, you know, you can never take anything for granted. But yeah, we will see you Saturday night recapping Maryland's game at Northwestern and their eighth game of the season after the bye week. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you then.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.